You're listening to the Platte River Bard.
Hello, hello, and welcome to the Platte River Bard. This is Chris Berger.
And I'm Sherry Berger.
And we are here at Snap Productions at the Ghostlight Theater. We are talking to Caitlin Rudine. She is a director. Julie Fitzgerald Ryan and Sarah Diggins. They are both characters in their upcoming play, Five Lesbians Eating a Quiche. I can't wait. That has got to be the greatest title I have ever heard in my entire life. Thank you, ladies, very much for inviting us into your theater and letting us talk to you this morning.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
Would you like to tell us how things are going in rehearsal?
Sure. It's been super, super fun. We did the production 10 plus years ago in Omaha, and now it's just kind of grown into this amazing production with new people and new faces and kind of a new cast that you'd normally not see with this particular production. And it's just been amazing. I was in the first rendition of this show. It originated from Chicago, the New Colony. And so I've seen this script just grow and grow and grow in every rendition that you could possibly see. And so I'm just thrilled that Omaha finally gets a full run of this amazing fun show.
Wonderful. And you get to direct it.
Yes.
So tell us about your characters. We've got Julie Fitzgerald Ryan and Sarah Diggins. Tell us about your characters.
I'll go. Wren Robin is a very...
What is my character like?
Well, she's frivolous. She is fun. She is... I think she should be... would love to be like a television announcer, or Vanna White would be like the perfect job for her. She really likes to make a presentation of everything. And so it's fitting that at the very opening of the show, she is there to present herself and present the widows. Well, we're starting as widows, by the way. Presenting everybody with what's happening today. And it's going to be a big quiche breakfast. Oh. And she's very, very... very excited. She's somebody who is rarely standing still and actually hoots quite a bit, which is fitting for her name. And I love the character. I love how much energy she has. It fits well within the show. And she, I'm blanking, like, what else about her? She likes to show off. She likes her friends, and she loves quiche.
Was there anything specific that attracted you to this character?
To this role in particular?
Yeah.
The energy level, the fun of it, the silliness. I was really, really excited to get to play a character that's just completely silly. And yet, there's a reason for everything that she's doing. It doesn't necessarily make sense, which is part of why it's so fun.
It makes sense to Ren.
It makes sense to me. That's right. And everything she does makes sense in her head. One of her great goals in life is to build and donate a ranger station in a town where there are no rangers. But she's pretty sure that if she builds it, the rangers will come. Mm-hmm. And I love that concept. I love that idea. I love somebody wanting something so badly that makes no sense.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yes. And it's also one of my things that I love is that the quiche breakfast is... So this show is set in 1956. Okay. And so these women come out and they're very like paper doll Donna Reed. And we find out that the quiche breakfast is actually being held in a bomb shelter because we have, you know, we're in the nuclear war time. And so we're introduced to characters that while all of this is going on in the outside world, the top billing is Ranger Station. So it's very like wackadoo and just fun to see where these characters take this surreal situation. And then we have Luli.
Yes. Yeah.
So Luli is the president of the quiche breakfast. And she likes everyone to know that she's the president. And so she kind of comes in very much larger than life and takes the reins from Ren's presentation as her own, and is not afraid to put people in their place when they step into her limelight. But she's very lovable, and everyone wants to be her. and wants to be her friend and kind of wants to have her approval, which has been very fun to kind of step into and play, because I see myself in her a lot and I also see not myself in her a lot. So trying to marry the two and find that has been very fun. She's very lovable and she's a little loony. She kind of has some moments that are strange, but they totally make sense to her, much like I think every character in this show has moments that, if you just look at them at face value, are ridiculous, but they make 100% sense to that character and to the moment and to everyone who's a part of it. So she's been a very fun character for me to play, and it's been a totally different type of character and experience as a whole to be part of this show. So it's been very, very fun.
I was just thinking, Ren Robin, what is the name of Ren with craziness? I'm thinking specifically like of the Mousetrap.
Christopher Ren was
like,
the crazy.
Is that like a thing that Ren is like a name?
I think that it comes from, so this society, the Susan B. Anthony Society for the Sisters of Gertrude Stein, they are obsessed with quiche and eggs. And so I think it's a play on birds.
Oh.
Of just like, you know, the queen of the eggs, right. The queen of the birds, and all of that.
So she's Ren Robin, yes.
Yeah, yes. And so what I love about this show specifically, and, you know, being a part of it, when I was an actress in it, I played Vern, and it was so interesting after every single performance, and I said this at auditions, every single one of these roles, there's not a bad role in the show. And I think a lot of the times when women specifically are auditioning for a comedy, you have to all fight for the one role that is funny, and you almost get into this like clawing at that moment when you get to stand out, because usually it's like, you know, the guys, and you're like, you guys, like that's all you get to say.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And this show in particular, there's not a bad one in the bunch, and every single audience member every night, like they would have a different favorite. And I think that's such an indicator of good writing, that you can connect with all of them at different times, and specifically the fact that it's all, you know, an all-female cast. I love the fact of, like, it's an all-female cast. I love that I'm a woman and I'm directing it, and it's just a lot of being able to explore that women are funny and we have stuff to say and we can, you know, take up space, and we set each other up for punchlines rather than trying to claw at what scraps are left over.
Right. So any of these roles would probably have been good for either of you.
Oh, yes. Definitely walked in with, I was like, I will take any role.
Yes.
And I mean it this time.
They're all good.
Don't always mean that when I write it.
Sure.
But I did this time. Yeah. I was willing to be Marjorie.
Yes. There's an interactive aspect of this show that's really fun. And
I heard you guys talking about that. What is that about?
So the audience is, they are all members of the Susan B. Anthony Society of the Sisters of Gertrude Stein.
Mm.
And the set is set up so that there's tables on the stage with us. They interact quite a bit with audience members, but there's one particular audience member named Marjorie, who, she's a different Marjorie every single night, but they hate her the most. And she is a former officer of the society. And so there's just a reemergence of her throughout the show, and their hostility grows and grows.
Yes.
So you pick out an audience member and call them Marjorie?
All night.
Yes.
Oh my God,
so
that's awesome.
And it's just fun because it's like, there's no indicator of who that person's going to be, and you just don't know. Like, it's not necessarily somebody that's on stage with us. You could be in the back row and be Marjorie. So you're in this club no matter what, whether you like it or not.
Oh, wow. That's brave.
It is.
So you said you initially did this in Chicago?
No, the script was written from the New Colony in Chicago.
Okay.
And then the director who directed it 10 years ago, Colt, he had a connection to the guys that wrote the script.
Ooh.
And so he read it and, you know, brought it to Omaha and did it as his senior thesis for UNO.
Oh, cool.
And so we got it before it was even published. So it was like really bare bones, like, here's this script. Things have changed in the script, but, you know, it remains like kind of the same. But it's just it's so fun. And then we took it to Kansas City Fringe and we won the Fringe Festival, I think based on title alone, because you know, that's going to get butts and
what
seats.
Year was that? Do you remember?
2000, maybe 14, 15, 16, around
okay.
there.
Okay, God, because this sounds so familiar. I'm from Kansas City and I got a lot of friends who do Kansas City Fringe.
Oh, fun.
So, and I know what theater you're talking about.
Yeah, and it was just so fun because it really is a kind of a show in the box of
yes.
Being able to travel with it. And it really, you know, it's not a show that relies on props or set or like anything to hide behind. It's really the strength of the women that are
women just kind of sitting
forward.
Around a table eating a quiche.
Mm-hmm. And like,
I wish we were sitting.
Yeah.
Or stand, yeah, bagging on Marjorie.
Right. Yeah. Bagging on Marjorie. It was fun because this show in Omaha, we did it once with the Shelter Belt as a fundraiser for okay. them to get a new roof. So we only
That's
did it
great.
One weekend.
Yeah.
And then we did it for the Fringe. And that was a weekend.
Mm-hmm.
And it's funny because, you know, we were nominated for OEAs and we only did it like that one weekend and people responded so well
really
to it.
Responded.
But people think we've had this full run and like we've done it. And so it was like, I've been championing for this, you know,
yeah,
show forever.
Yeah.
And I think it's people thought, oh, you know, we got to see it. And so now I'm like, no, now you get to see it. And a fully realized set, because our set was so bare bones.
Really
and
bare bones,
and
yeah.
Snap is just embracing all of these really cool offbeat shows and giving it their all. So I'm just thrilled to be a part of their first season.
That's great.
Mm-hmm.
So it opens April 5th.
Mm-hmm.
And how long does it go till?
The 21st?
21st.
Yeah.
21st? Mm-hmm. Okay,
nice.
So you're going to get a good...
Yeah.
Yeah,
and one of the performances is a brunch. So you
oh.
get to come, and I believe it's maybe the last Sunday...
I thought it was the second.
Yeah, I
the
second
it was
Sunday.
The second.
It's okay,
the second Sunday.
Disregard what I said.
The second Sunday, and yeah, they'll have quiche
oh,
and little
wow.
drinks, so
good
you get
idea.
To eat along with the ladies.
Oh,
mm-hmm.
perfect!
So it'll be fun.
Are we eating with them?
Well, you'll be eating
we'll
quiche
find
on.
Out.
Yeah, we'll find out.
That's exciting.
The suspense. Mm.
Dun dun dun!
I know.
Love it.
What a cute idea.
Yeah, this is great.
To integrate the quiche into breakfast.
I love the interactive aspect. How did it go when you did it the first couple of times?
You know, it was really fun because I like that it's interactive, but I like, and I've been telling the ladies in rehearsal, and I just said it a moment ago, the interactive theater can go south quick.
Yeah, I can.
And so the goal with this show and like any interactive show is to be bigger than your audience because,
yeah.
you know, everyone thinks they're like a comic when they're in that kind of environment. And when you
yeah.
give license and permission to be part of it. Mm-hmm. So the way that our set is set up, you know, we have, you're right in the thick of it with us. It's really fun. The person who's Marjorie every single night, it just the face of like what's happening for like the first couple, because it's just out of nowhere. We just start ragging on you. And so like you don't really realize like, oh no. And then it's like, and it happens again and it happens again and it happens again. And so by the end, like the audience just starts laughing hysterically as soon as we start like walking that way because they know, oh no. Like Marjorie.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Oh, that's awesome. Yes. Now you know interactive theater is a double edged sword. Did a lot of it over the years at Ren Faire and all that.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, as soon as you give them license, sometimes they're good,
mm-hmm.
and sometimes now they're a part of your show.
Yes.
Yes.
It
now
can
they're
be,
an equal member.
Yes. It can be
great.
It can be tough because you'll have people that will just take it too far. And this, you know, the Marjorie stuff, while we pick on one person, it's all in good fun.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Like, being mean. Yeah.
Yes.
No.
Yeah. We don't want you to go home and journal about it.
Yeah. Yes. Yes.
It'll be okay.
And no one should be nervous. I know for my husband will not go see a show. If you tell him it's interactive, he will not go.
He will not go.
So I need to, I have to reassure him, no, you're not being, nothing is being asked of you, then maybe to admit something about your sexuality out loud. Other than that, nothing is being demanded of
yeah.
the crowd.
You don't have to, at the
nobody
at the
has to get up and do anything.
Right.
Really, nobody
yeah.
has to
yeah.
do anything. It's just fun interaction,
mm-hmm.
and people
yes.
will be talking to you a little bit and encouraging you, but that's it. So there's nothing, nobody's going to be marched up there a magician right. does.
And the actors take the lead.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Mm-hmm. So there's nothing.
We don't give Marjorie a lot of wiggle room.
No, well, Margie.
Marjorie's not allowed to talk. No.
God bless it.
You expelled her.
We expelled Petunia Bradley.
Oh, Petunia Bradley.
Yes.
Yeah, that's right.
She's just been demoted.
Yeah.
Demoted.
Marjorie hopes that she can come back, but it's not looking good.
It's not going to happen. Yeah. Not on my watch.
Probably going to die.
Yes.
It's true.
Yes.
Yeah. But this show is so great because there's so much humor in it. Like, it's jokes, jokes, jokes. But what I love about it is that it's smart humor, and underneath it is an actual message, because, like I said at the beginning, they're in a bomb shelter, and it's 1956, and they have this, like, cute, kitschy kitchen and all of that, but then the bomb does go off. And so they're in this bomb shelter, the bomb goes off, they've been practicing this drill forever, and then as soon as they gain awareness that they're all alive and well, they start to think, oh, so we're the only ones left. Like, we're it. Because at the beginning, like Julie said, they address them each other as widows. Mm-hmm. Like, their husbands have passed away. So at the beginning, they just start to think, after the bomb goes off, they think, oh, I guess it's just us. And then kind of like a slight delight to finally be themselves, and one by one by one they admit that they've been lesbians this whole time, and then you hear that, you know, this one's in love with this one and this one's in love with this one, and it's been going on for years. And I think what I love about it is that I think a lot of times shows are really heavy-handed with the message.
Okay.
And this is just, you know, through humor that's not spelled out for the audience, you see that it took an atomic blast for them to be themselves and to accept themselves.
It took literally the world ending.
Correct.
Yes, in order for them to go, you know,
yeah, I'm going to just be okay with this. And so I think that I'd love to see more shows like that, where it's, you know, assuming that your audience is smart enough to handle the material.
Sure.
And that they're going to be on the ride with you, and yeah, you don't have to preach down and be heavy-handed with, this is what the show's about.
Right, right, right.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think we're all hopefully getting to that point where we don't need that anymore, that we can go, oh, yeah, I get that. Okay.
Yeah. And I and I also think that I was so thankful that there's a true comedy coming to Omaha, because it's been lacking on Omaha stages. I think it's, you know, since obviously the pandemic and all of those things, people, you know, thought, like, how can I contribute? I was getting it from the news. I was getting it from this. I was getting it from that. And I'm like, theater should be an escape. And
yes,
it doesn't mean that it has to be without merit of, like, what, you know,
absolutely,
an underlying tone, or ignore what's going on. But I need that hour and a half every now and then.
I agree.
To just have fun and laugh. And
I agree.
Celebrate.
Entertain me.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, we could talk about some relevant stuff and slip that in there. But first and foremost, entertain me. Make me laugh. I don't want to come here and see the same crap I have to watch on the news.
No.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, and I think that for a while, since the pandemic, I just feel like that's kind of been the tone with Omaha. It's been very heavy-handed.
Everybody got really serious.
Very serious. And, like, and while there's obviously a place for everybody, think that my soul needs it. Like, I need a laugh.
Yes.
I need, like, release of just, can I please just drink some wine and have a fun night with my friends and watch a show.
Yes.
And appreciate it for what it is.
Yes. Thanks for the comedy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
I just think we need it. And, you know, when you spoke about, like, the different ranges, that was a major goal of mine casting
the
show.
Nice range.
Yeah, because traditionally, you know, all the productions that I've seen of this particular show, all 20, all white, and, you know, it's just the way that it is, and it doesn't make it, you know, better or worse, but I was so in love with our original cast that I'm like, I won't be able to replicate it. It has to live in its own way. And the best way for me to, you know, do that and have it be fresh and have it be different was to open up the casting so that it's not that traditional 20-year-olds. And mm-hmm. so there's you know, a range, and there's, you know, room for everybody. And I just think, like, women should be celebrated at every stage of their, you know, theater life.
Yes.
And there's room for everybody at the Quiche Breakfast. So I think that's going to be something that's different about our production, too.
Well, and in speaking of that, of course, we have Julie and Sarah. We have three other lesbians who are eating quiche here.
Yes.
Who are those ladies?
So we have Therese Reynolds. She's playing...
Oh, Therese!
Yes!
Oh, my God, yes! We did the first double wide with her.
She's born in the barn player.
She played my mom,
she's
actually.
Oh my God. She's playing Vern Schultz, the character
great.
That I played, and
love
she's
Therese.
Hysterical.
Yes, she is.
And we have Tatiana. She plays Dale, and Dale is just like, I always say, she's kind of the heart of the Ghostbusters. Like, she's the one that just loves so hard, and she and Tati is just amazing at, she has the most like expressive, like you just want to give her a hug anytime she's speaking face, and it's exactly what you need, and it's wonderful. And then we have Anna Dragon, which is like the coolest last name ever.
That's the greatest name.
Yeah. She is playing Ginny, and Ginny is Therese Vern's secret girlfriend, and Dale is actually with Ren. In the show. So it's really fun, and there's, you know, an age mix and diversity, and it's just everything that I wanted this cast to be, the ladies appeared. And so it was just kind of like a dream cast, and they're doing so great. And it's just such a fun ensemble show. And it's very short too. If you want just a short ride, it's timing to be about an hour long. So
okay.
It's an in and out train ride, and you're
no intermission, I'm assuming.
No intermission. Just through, it's just straight through, very sitcom-y and fun.
I love that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's not a normal, see, again, with my husband, dragging him to the theater.
Sure, sure.
And he'll always be like, is there an intermission? He always hopes there's not an intermission so that we'll be,
really?
Be out of there in 90 minutes.
Oh,
I'm like,
okay.
There's no intermission. And I'm like, and it's shorter than 90 minutes. And he's like, really? I'm like, yes. Like, it's shorter than 70 minutes.
Yeah. And that's right up his alley.
Yes. Oh, he's
it
so
still
happy.
Packs a punch, though, in that hour.
Does.
There's a lot that happens.
Like, oh, my goodness.
Yeah. There's humor, and it's heartfelt, and there's
a bomb.
There's a, you know, something for everyone, which is really,
there are
really beautiful.
Yes. There's
there's
eggs.
Eggs.
There's
cheese.
There's lust.
Yes.
It's just fun because, this show, I like to say, is a great show if you don't think theater is for you, because it reads more like a sitcom, more like a TV show, more like, I always think it's like kind of like a Little Miss Sunshine, like it has like an indie feel to it, where like a little it's not traditional theater. So if you feel like theater isn't accessible, or you know, you have somebody that you think would be, you know, want to tiptoe into theater, it's a way to make it accessible. It's short, it's fun, and you're just gonna laugh. So it's not anything you have to overthink.
And I think I've seen Julie and Sarah in other plays at other places. I know I've seen Sarah for sure.
Yes.
I know.
So
I've
you've
seen
done
both
other
of
things.
I have, yes.
I feel like I've talked to both of you at one point.
Probably.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, very possibly.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I think so.
Yeah.
Yes. I want to say Pace, maybe. Have you done something at Pace?
I have not done anything at Pace. No.
Oh.
OCP and Blue Barn.
Blue Barn, okay.
OCP.
And you've done things. I know I've seen you on social media.
Yes, I've done stuff at the Bellevue Little Theater and then Florentine Players. And this is my first show here, so I'm very excited.
That's great.
Yeah.
I know. It's awesome to be at Snap's first year back.
Yes.
This is pretty cool.
Well,
it is.
I think it's a cool little space.
The one thing about this show is it is kind of like the Jones, Hope, and Wooten, but it suits your mission a little bit better with Snap.
Yes.
Absolutely.
And so what a perfect show for Snap to do.
Yes, for sure. For sure.
Oh,
oh my gosh.
So well, this sounds like such a fun show.
Yeah,
and it is.
I'm so glad that
God,
you're getting to do this
and
being part of Snap's first season.
Yeah, and being part of an all-female cast.
Yes.
Is
like I said, it's all female. Yeah.
Yes.
Yes.
And it's pretty awesome.
It is.
We've had there's been no cattiness so far.
Marjorie is in charge of that.
Marjorie is the worst, but she's imaginary, so I can handle that.
Yeah. It's very, very true. Like, it's such an easy group of ladies that genuinely it comes out on stage, just their rapport and, you know, getting to know people. I didn't know Sarah when she auditioned. So there's new faces to me, which is, I always encourage. I love putting in new people, new to me anyway. And it's just great. And then we've, you know, we had a night of a rehearsal where we just talked about our top five celebrity crushes, and we got like really involved. Like,
we did.
It got very involved.
It's been really fun to be. I've never been part of a show with all female cast and crew, and it's been really fun to just get to kind of work in a different dynamic. It is different, and
it has to be. Yeah,
and it's been really, really fun. And it really is truly an ensemble show, which I think sometimes there are shows that say they're ensemble shows, but they're still, you know, nuances of leads and supporting mm-hmm. characters. And this mm-hmm. show is very much not like that. Mm-mm. It is everyone all together. We're each other's biggest fans mm-hmm. behind the scenes and on stage. And it's just been really fun to get to know these women and play with them and have our characters come to life.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Well, and I'm going to assume that there's just the five of you. You guys, you're around an hour. You guys are all on stage the entire time. Nobody leaves.
Mm-hmm. I mean, people just leave, little spots here and there. Just
somebody runs off to grab a glass of water.
Yes.
Okay, just grab something real quick and come back.
But. And I never do.
Yeah.
I never
so good
do.
Up, baby.
Yeah. Every once in a while, I'm like, I would love to just run out for a second.
And that's the thing that we've been talking about and they're probably ready to kill me by now, but it's one of the things in rehearsal that we're punching is like from the second, like it's such a short ride.
Yeah.
And so you just have to punch it to the limit and like give us a full hour of just wackadoo. And
that's awesome.
And we go. So it really does start off and it ends with a bang.
It does.
Yes.
Literally. I think it's nice that right now there are going to be two comedies coming out. This one and then POTUS, mm-hmm. which are going to be, those are both shows with a range of ages and roles for women. And that's,
they doing POTUS here?
Or? No, that is going to be at Blue Barn.
At Blue Barn's doing POTUS?
But it's just, I love that there are shows coming out with women, you know,
more
focusing
than just a couple of the
more than just two women's roles that are 30 and secondary to all of the men's roles.
And I think also it's interesting because I think a lot of shows that at least we're coming down the pike, I think it's starting to make a change, like Julie said, is that, you know, you would go to these auditions and the women would have to jump through hoops over and over and over and over, like 4, 5, 6 callbacks. And then, you know, because I don't know if men age out or if they're just, they're harder to come by that are still interested in theater, but we were catering shows for the demographic that's not available. And it's like, you have all these women that still love it mm-hmm. and still want to be here and are willing to go through, you know, every hoop imaginable to be part of it. So let's start edging towards what we have as opposed to, you know, and no hate or whatever, but like, let's start like honoring these women that are still like their passion is mm-hmm. still there. And I would love to see more shows that, you know, there's not just one little role for a woman or the role for the woman that's available is, about a man. You know, I'm looking for love or I'm looking for this or I'm doing this and my entire personality is based on his.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. And
I'm a wife. I'm a mother. I am a sister.
Yes.
I am a daughter.
Yeah.
And it is, it's like, what if you're just you?
Yes, mm-hmm. absolutely.
That'd be cool.
Yeah. And I think that this show I love is that, you know, because the writing is so strong and nuanced, they're not just one facet. And I think that a lot of shows now that are written for women, they're stereotypes. It's like, I'm the sexy girl and I'm the mad one. Yawn.
It's like
we don't need female Ghostbusters either. Like we can be our own Ghostbusters. Yeah. I don't need a rendition of something where we're going to change it. Like, so it's women get to do it.
12 Angry Women.
Yeah.
I was at 12 Angry Women when I went to Marion.
So
yeah, no thanks.
What a week. Well, we didn't have much of a choice.
Yeah,
it was
fair enough.
It was all women.
I'm actually for that as well. That's I find that annoying. It's like that seems like leftovers.
It is,
mm-hmm. And it's like, let's not do leftovers. No. How about we do something new?
Let's mm-hmm. do something new, and yeah. let's do something that really showcases a story that is about the women that are out there, mm-hmm. as opposed to a show that's about a man.
And yeah. Caitlin will be exactly. writing another show coming up soon about some women.
Nice.
Yeah.
The,
some
the, fun the author women. Of this show.
No, no. Caitlin. Right
here. This Caitlin. Yeah.
Yes, and she already has it. They just did a show this Christmas here mm-hmm. called Those Two Are Definitely Getting Murdered, written by Caitlin. Yeah.
You were the writer of
yes.
that. Okay.
That's yeah. great.
And I wrote that show specifically because I had gone to so many auditions for a while where, you know, there was a particular show at a theater in town where the role was literally the woman's lines were like, can I get you a drink? Is there something else you'd like? One point, it was just her arms that right. emerged with like a tray and a drink on it. And I was like,
Are you kidding me?
I'm not kidding you. Yeah. And
people auditioned for that.
And that's the thing. It's like,
yeah.
But the thing that's sad is that, you know, we are in Omaha, we are in a local market, and people want to express themselves. And I stopped auditioning for roles like that, but it's because yeah. I, you know, want to save myself for like roles that actually matter to me, because it's such a time commitment.
It
is. Yes. And to me, it's like, if you continue to program roles like that, unfortunately, people are going to still show up because they want to perform so badly. And it's nothing against them, but it's like, we as the people that are choosing scripts for theaters need to program shows that are specifically, you know, give us something to do. And so when I wrote Those Two Are Definitely Getting Murdered, it stars two women, and there is a male in it, but he specifically has no lines. And it's the killer has no lines. He's on, you know, he's around and stuff, but it was to kind of be a little, you know, wink nudge to like how women are on stage.
Yeah.
It's like, would a man be willing to be seen and not heard?
Yes.
And right. and so it's just a very wordy play, and it was really fun, and it was, you know, great to get to explore that. And I think Snap is really leading the charge as far as, you know, producing local work and not making the writers really nice that are doing mm-hmm. local work feel like they're doing some huge favor to you.
Yeah, yeah, you're doing them a favor by putting on their
yeah,
stuff.
I yeah, I think that's the thing too, is like the tone needs to change to celebrate it and encourage it, rather than be like, well, you know, you didn't come from New York.
I find it exciting when I know that something has been locally written and sort of produced and put together, and, you know, maybe it's been workshopped at a couple of places and now they're doing the full production of mm-hmm. it. Yeah, there may have been a couple of stage readings before, but the script has changed and now here it is in all its glory. Yeah. I think that's super cool.
Yeah.
I think that's really exciting. Mm-hmm. And as far as the women thing, I remember reading this a couple of years ago. I can't imagine this has changed very much, but actresses to actors in this area, it's like 10 to 1.
It's insane.
Oh, yeah.
And so there's like 10 actresses for every actor. And mm-hmm. I'm kind of surprised that there isn't more
right.
sort of women-heavy projects.
Mm-hmm. They don't have to, you know, go through like 50 callbacks.
Yeah.
And it's like we're, you know, kind of punishing the people that are there and tried and true. And it's like
willing to make the commitment.
Yeah, and mm-hmm. and willing to, you know, to be there. And it's like, let's start really thinking of when we program our season, not just, you know, obviously for women, but like, you know, different groups of people that maybe don't usually get a voice and like don't usually, you know, get cast in the lead and stuff like that. Take chances on people and let people go to their full potential, because Omaha is so talented.
It is.
And I don't want us ever to feel like we're like the little dog out there and comparing ourselves to actors in New York. There's crappy theaters in New York. There's crappy theaters in LA.
I have known people that
we were just
talking
to somebody about that yesterday.
Exactly.
I come from the East Coast, and so I've moved around a lot, and so I've seen a bunch of different theater, and we definitely have what it takes in Omaha, but to be able to demonstrate what we have, we need to program smarter, and we need to program to, you know, be able to showcase women and, you know, different demographics and different people and different, you know, skill ranges. Like, let's see some new faces. Let's do it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like,
yeah, get the new person in with all the veterans, you know, and let them learn.
I think it's the same on the creative side of things. You know, you have the same directors and there's no succession line and no, like, chain of, like,
getting brought up.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And so it's like, you know, we need to start, you know, not just living in, like, this is going to be the artistic director of this theater until the end of time, because that's not how it's, you know, a successful community is built. Because then people will be like, why'd you bring in somebody from outside? And it's like, because nobody else was given the chance. Mm-hmm. Nobody else, you know, we didn't create a line of succession through mentorship and, like, getting people in there and letting people take a stab at it.
It's
like,
so important.
Theater should be fun. It should be a learning experience for everybody. And I think that on the creative staff side of things, as well as actors,
yes,
you need to foster a, you know, a relationship of inclusion and letting people come in and show you what they've got. Because I think a lot of times people get boxed in to the first thing that you see them as, yes, in Omaha. It's like, oh, well, she's the funny one, so she can only do funny things.
Right, so let's put her in funny stuff.
Yeah, yeah. And like, and then it gets to the, you know, it's true. And yeah, it's like, you know, even for younger women with musical roles, it's like the second people know you can sing, that's all you can do.
The, yes, mm-hmm, and you're the musical person.
You're the musical person.
Yes.
Or whatever it is. And yeah, it's, and so it's like, you know, I would love, and I think SNAP is doing a great job of, you know, seeing where we can utilize your talents and, oh, you can do this too, you can do this, mm-hmm, and not being threatened by it, but embracing it. Mm-hmm. And I think that's huge. And well, I think that's what's going to make Omaha, like, stand up to its standards.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And I think as an actor, I have several friends who are actors, and we've all talked about kind of typecasting and how all of us would love to do different types of things that are maybe not what we generally get cast at, mm-hmm, as. And I think that there is an opportunity for every actor to explore something that they haven't done. And so having the chance to do that, mm-hmm, is like the dream as an, mm-hmm, actor, to really see, A, the challenge for yourself, like, okay, I tend to play this type of character, these type of roles.
Yeah.
Can I do that? That's like some stretch, because usually, you know, everyone has something that they just kind of sink into naturally. Mm-hmm. But I think that would just be a really cool opportunity to see more chances for people to step into things that you wouldn't naturally see them in.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And making more roles in general available to people that have different interests. You know, everybody's not going to want to be in Annie Get Your Gun. Like, have roles for weirdos, have horror shows, have, you know,
yes,
like, have, mm-hmm, stuff that is just a range, so that there's some place for everybody, and like everybody kind of finds where they fit, and then within that find good roles of, yeah, you know, read scripts and, you know, find those opportunities for people to, you know, explore outside of themselves.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah, I'm a fan of scary theater.
Me too.
Bringing that up, it's like, I think that's, I wish more people around, at least, if, at the very least, like around Halloween, would push, mm-hmm, the scary stuff and do, it's like, I just think that's so cool. Because I think it's so much more effective than just watching a movie, like a scary movie,
yeah,
is if you're in the room and they're doing some kind live of scary,
atmosphere,
creepy kind, mm-hmm, of whatever they're, mm-hmm, doing production. I just...
Yeah.
You can't beat it.
No, you can't
it's
beat
so
it.
Cool.
And it's also like, you know, it's just such an atmospheric event and just fun. And, you know, people need to, you know, be able to just kick their feet off and like have a fun time going, mm-hmm, to see things,
yeah,
and like allowing yourself to just be swept away and not be overly critical about what you're seeing or, you know, what's going on. Just have a fun time.
Just, yeah, yes, have a fun time. Enjoy it. Be entertained.
Yeah.
Which is exactly what it sounds like you guys are going for in Five Lesbians Eating a Quiche. Come see it for the title alone.
we back up the title.
Oh my God. I absolutely love it. Thank you. Much,
yes, absolutely.
For
thank
talking
you.
With
thank
us.
You.
Thank,
ah,
you.
Thank you.
Winner of the 2012 New York City International Fringe Festival for Best Overall Production, Five Lesbians Eating a Quiche is a tasty recipe of hysterical laughs, sexual innuendos, unsuccessful repressions, and delicious discoveries. Five Lesbians Eating a Quiche opens April 5th and runs until April 21st. Don't miss Snap's special showing, including brunch on Sunday, April 14th at noon. Grab your tickets today at snapproductions.com. Thank you for listening and supporting the arts in the Platte River area and beyond. Please subscribe to our podcast so you are sure to catch all of our future episodes and join us on social media. See you next time on the Platte River Bard.